Brother Gary Sigler is here, and we want him to come and minister to us this morning. And I've been really looking forward to him being in Tennessee for quite a while. He's well known, but he's the most unpretentious man you'll ever meet. He doesn't like a lot of attention, actually. But because of the word of the Lord that's in him and because of the freedom that he ministers in the Lord, I'm afraid that he can't quite be quite as anonymous as he would like to be. This man, more than any other minister that I know of, and over the years we've known a lot, but Brother Gary has promoted unselfishly other ministries more than any other minister that I know of. He has put ministry into contact with people that are on his mailing list and have learned about his ministry more so than any other minister. He is unselfish in every way when it comes to this word. There's no competitiveness in him at all. And we need more like him in this word. He's had a great effect of bringing ministry together. He has a website on the internet at Sigler.org. And if you want to, that's his personal website. And then if you want to go to a website that he himself has designed and pays for and keeps on the internet at Sigler.org/kingdom. It's a really beautiful site. He has many ministries on there of the kingdom of God and of the reconciliation ministry. He has an audio section on there where you, if you have a sound card in your computer and you can download Real Player off of the internet, you can listen to Brother Preston Eby and Elwin Roach and Brother Gary and many others on there right through your computer. He has a chat room now on his internet site that gives a lot of people an opportunity to voice their opinions on a variety of subjects dealing with the kingdom of God. He's an author of quite a few books, a beautiful series on coming out of darkness and then coming into the light. He has many writings that he puts out, many tapes. If you want to be put on his mailing list, please let him know before he leaves here. It's our honor and our privilege to have Brother Gary Sigler come forward and minister to us. Come on, Brother Gary.
I'd like to start out with Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Thank you, Charlie, for bringing this word out last night. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, and to give you an expected end. It's the most wonderful thing in the world when you can take scriptures and something in you responds in faith and hope and expectation that what you have heard will come to pass. And you know, the only way that can happen for you and me, to have that kind of response to the Word of God, is to really know who we are. If you're like me, for many years I lived in an Adamic consciousness, a limited human consciousness, unable to fulfill the Word of God in my life because of thinking that I was a mere human being. I was down in Cunningham, Texas a few weeks ago, and I would recommend everybody in this message to someday visit Cunningham, Texas. There's just a few people down there that are walking in this message. They're not just talking it, but they're walking it. And there is a young lady there who's written some of the most beautiful songs for this message. And one of the songs that she wrote, the words are something like this: I will take you back to where you were before the fall of man. I'll restore your soul. I'll reconcile your heart, and I'll give you back your true identity. I'll remove the veils from your eyes so that you can clearly see You'll walk with me in paradise on this earth. You'll live in me. God today is giving us back our true identity. I loved what Charles said last night. We are of his substance. We were created out of his very own substance. We were created in Genesis 1 in the exact image and likeness of God. That is who we are and where we came from. We came out of him and we are returning unto him. 2 Timothy. Now I can't tell you anything this morning that you don't already know. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, it says, speaking of Christ, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now listen, folks, if you can believe that, that verse in itself will give you enough encouragement and hope to rise out of the dust of the earth. Before we ever came to this earth, before the foundations of the earth were ever laid, we were given all things in Christ. And as Paul told the Ephesians, you were chosen in him before the very foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, there was a time when I used to wait and think, oh my God, I can't wait until one day I'll be holy and without blemish. But you must realize that you are holy and without blemish. Because, see, he will never make the Adamic carnal mind holy and without blame. The message of the gospel was not to an Adamic man, but to the Christ man. I've been saying all over the country, wherever I go, that the promise that God made was not to Adam, not to an Adamic man. The promise was to the seed. Now let me tell you something. If you have the seed in you, and we can prove by scriptures that you do, whether you know it or not, because you have the seed of God in you, every promise that has ever been made is made to the seed of God, which you are. So there is absolutely no way that you will not one day fully reveal and manifest the glory of your God. And all it takes is a mere repentance. All you need to do is repent for your way of thinking. Repent for thinking that you're a mere human being with a limited consciousness and unable to fulfill the word of the living God. Repent from that way of thinking. And realize that every word that's ever been spoken from the very throne of God has been spoken through the seed of Christ, which you are. And you will begin to arise in glorious victory. And you'll be able to speak forth the words of the living God. And you will be able to bring life and reconciliation everywhere that your foot steps. We have to wait no longer for the reconciliation and the revealing of the sons of God. Because we are here. And we are on this earth. And we were destined to bring creation into reconciliation. This is why we were born. This is why we were here. And this is why that we will not fail. Because we are walking in the third day. The veils that have been over our eyes are being removed so that we can clearly see. Another song that was written in Cunningham is, God's seed is in all humanity. Oh, you may not see it. It may be hidden, but in these days it shall spring forth.
Hallelujah.
Within you there is a great mystery. The mystery of the gospel is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have to stop looking for something good within our carnal nature. We have to stop trying to perform the Christian life. And we have to realize, and this is what God is doing in these days, He's unveiling our eyes to see that I am the Christ upon this earth. Now I realize that's a bold statement, but whether you realize it or you don't, you are God's Christ upon this earth. And it is time for us to arise and to shake off the dust of our humanity and to bring forth the light and the glory of His presence to a lost and a dying world. Well, you not only need to repent for the way you think, you need to guard the words of your mouth. Now, there is no way that I want to resurrect an old dead horse of the Word and Faith movement, but let me tell you something. What we heard flow out of this man last night was the Word of the living God. That was God speaking to you. That was God revealing to you His plan of the ages. That was God speaking to you your destiny and your inheritance. And how dare you from this moment forth speak anything else? Proverbs says that what? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if you walk out of here this weekend, which you will not do, but if you were to walk out of here this weekend and you begin to confess the old things, and you begin to, out of the words of your mouth, speak failure and defeat. There was one day when God said to me, "You really don't believe me." Oh, He said, "You do, but listen to the way you talk." Again, I'm not talking about name it and claim it. I'm asking you this. What has God spoken to you? Because this is not an intellectual mind trip. This is receiving what God has said to us. If what was said to you and what will be said to you this weekend quickens you, if it gives you life, if it energizes you, you need to speak that which God has spoken to you. I will never again say that I cannot do that which God would ask of me to do. I would never again confess that I'm unable and that I'm weak and that I'm just an old miserable whatever. And I don't care how I feel. I may feel like this is a wonderful word. I love it. It gives me life. And I may feel like I could never do it, but I would never say it. Because the words of your own mouth will either give you life or bring you death. And again, it's not speaking what you want. It's speaking what God has spoken to you. God said to Abraham, "I will give you a son." And God has made many promises to all of us, like He has to Abraham. And like Abraham, we have all of us, especially those of us in ministry, have produced many Ishmaels. It almost seems like you have to produce an Ishmael to appreciate an Isaac. But sometimes we look at the works of our hands and we say, "Oh God, I've put so much effort into this. Oh God, I would that Ishmael could live before you." And you know what God said? He said, "I'll bless Ishmael." Look at the Christian religious system out here. And tell me God's blessing isn't upon her. "I'll bless the works of your flesh, but my promise is to Isaac." Now, do you want to be blessed and prosperous and drive around in Cadillacs? Or do you want, not that any of those things are wrong. I drive a Cadillac, so don't misunderstand me. But what do you want? Because my promise is to Isaac. I want the promise. And you see, I've made the mistake, like so many of you have, a few years ago, of saying, God, whatever it takes. I don't care what it takes, Father. I want to be conformed into your likeness and image. And then when the fire would get hot, I would jump out and run the other way. And I realized what I was doing, so I said one day, God, I want you to listen to me now. Don't listen to me when I'm in the fire, listen to me now. Whatever it takes. I mean, I was serious. You see, if there's one thing we have learned, it's we've learned the flesh. So don't listen to me when I'm in the fire, when I'm whining and complaining and moaning. Just turn it up. And he did. And I know God wants to, you know, he wants the very best for us. But I'm telling you, folks, if he blesses Ishmael, if he blesses your flesh, and you walk in total health and total prosperity and have all the abundance of the world, I wonder where your heart would be. Because, see, once your heart is right, once God has purified your heart, then the abundance of the Gentiles or the wealth of the world could come to you. And it won't draw you away from his plan for you. So it's not that we're against health and prosperity and all the wonderful things of this world, but what we want, even more than physical life itself, is we want to be manifested. Hallelujah. As a son of the living God. Yes. And what a glory it is when Charlotte stands up here and releases such an awesome presence of the Lord. And yet in her physical body, may not look so good. But I bet you if she had her choice, she would tell you she would rather be where she is today physically. Because, you know, folks, God is arising in us. And when he fully resurrects himself in us, there will be no sickness. There will be no disease. Now, I would like to have that right now. But, you know, again, this is not an intellectual exercise. I confessed health for many years, and it didn't do me a bit of good. But I'll tell you what. When God speaks to you, when God speaks a word of healing to you, you don't have to experience it to believe it. But like Abraham, you call those things that be not as though they were, because God has spoken them and they become. So speak that which God has spoken to you. There's absolutely nothing can take the place of the Spirit of the living God arising in his holy temple. You know, Hebrews says, in sacrifices and burnt offerings thou hast had no pleasure. How many times, you know, we've tried to sacrifice. And we've even had doctrines about, you know, the sacrifice of praise. God is not interested in sacrifice. He wants a body. And if you'll repent for the way that you thought, and you will simply walk in that which is already yours. And I know, you know, it's that simple. Change your mind about the way you think. We know that it's humanly impossible to walk as God upon this earth. And we know that no matter how hard Adam tries, he will never become Christ. Yet Christ in you doesn't even have to try, he just is. You can say with full assurance of faith, I am that I am. You can't be anything else, folks. We are coming to the place where we can identify with who we really are. And regardless of what all the opposers say, that here are a people making themselves God, we can only say what God has said. And we can only be that which we are. And we are of His substance. Zechariah 12:1, I love this verse. A picture of creation. It says that God stretched forth the heavens, He laid the foundations of the earth, and He formed the spirit in man. Think of that. He stretched forth the heavens, He laid the foundations of the earth, and then He formed the spirit in man. And then we know in John 4:24 says, God is spirit. So my friends, what did He form? He formed you out of His very substance. Let us make man in our image. And that's why God is restoring our soul, reconciling our heart, and giving us back our true identity so that we can reveal to the world the awesome, all-encompassing, eternal purposes of our God. And that is that all creation, oh, and I'm so thankful that when this is all over, there will not be one person that does not glorify and manifest the loveliness of their Creator. But the thrill of this thing is, folks, that we don't have to wait for this. That right today, we experience the loveliness of His essence flowing from the very depths of our being. We can stand in the very heart throb of God, and we can sense His love for humanity. And we can minister to anyone, in any place, in any condition, at any time, and bring to them words of life and not death. But do you know, before you can do that for someone else, you must learn to do that for yourself. Learn to speak words of life to yourself. I am not Adam. I am not a mere carnal human being. I am the fullness of Him who fills everything, everywhere with Himself. Everywhere I look, I can see Christ. Everywhere I look, I can see the life of God. You can see it in a leaf. You can see it in a lily. There is no place where God is not. And this was not a someday verse when Paul told the Ephesians that God fills everything everywhere with Himself. It's an ongoing process. Right this very day, that God is filling everything everywhere with Himself. And we are so blessed because the veil that has been over our eyes has been removed. And we are beginning to see and understand who we really are. It really has been a case of mistaken identity. Until we come out of the prison, the greatest prison, my friends, on all the earth, is the prison of the carnal mind. There is no prison any darker or in more bondage than you believing that you are a mere human being. No matter how good you are, you know you can love God. There's multitudes, millions probably, of Christians in this world that love God that are still imprisoned in a carnal mindset. But in these days, God is unveiling us to the reality of our identity. So as first fruits, we can go forth and to bring this word of reconciliation. You can do it. You really can do it. If you couldn't do it, you would not be here this weekend. You say, why am I here? Because the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. And you say, but oh brother, I haven't even made Jesus the total Lord of my life. You know, there's a very nice saying that's brought a lot of bondage to people. There's a saying that said, unless He is Lord of all, speaking about your life, He cannot be Lord at all. Let me tell you something. He is Lord.
He is Lord.
We don't make Him Lord. He is Lord. You may not recognize him as Lord, but he orders your steps to bring you to a point where one day you will bow the knee and confess him as Lord. But listen, if you feel that he's not Lord in every area of your life, don't let that discourage you. Just realize and confess, he is my Lord. I don't have to feel like it, but he is. And the more I realize that he is, the more I feel like it. The more I realize that he directs my steps, the more I honor him as Lord. One of the things I've realized too in recent years, God has taken all fear out of my heart. And there has been so much fear perpetrated among God's people. And the greatest fear is the fear of being deceived. And the fear of the devil robbing you of your inheritance. So much fear. You know what? But when you fall in love, when you love God, and that too does not come out of Adam. Never condemn yourself over what you don't have in Adam, but realize Christ in me is the hope of glory. And so I say, Father, even though I don't sense a perfect love for you, God, even though in my experience it seems that you're not Lord of all, Father, I'm so thankful that my steps daily are being designed by you. And I know that whatever it takes, whatever circumstances that you must raise in my life, I thank you, Lord, that you will do that. And I know there will come a day when I can stand in full assurance and I'll see every one of my enemies subdued under my feet. And I'll tell you something, my enemy is not the devil. My enemy is not spirits in the airwaves. My enemies are fear and lust and hatred and bitterness and slander and blasphemy. Some people ask me, Brother, do you believe in a literal devil or do you believe it's the mind? Whether you believe in a literal devil or whether you don't, the only power, the only influence that that realm, the satanic realm, has is in your carnal mind. And if you will repent and give it no place, it will have no place.
That's a good word.
And when you really realize it, you'll be able to thank the devil instead of fear him. Because he is simply a tool in the hand of your God to bring you into perfection. I probably shouldn't say this again, I've said it too much, but I believe the devil is a Pentecostal. It's the realm, folks, where he is most glorified. You hear more about the devil.
You sure do.
You hear more about spiritual warfare.
You sure do.
You hear more about everything negative in Pentecost than any other realm in Christendom. Testimony after testimony about the devil. We are so fearful we can't even let our children go outside the home without a couple hours of prayer to protect them from the devil, when all we need to do is lay our hands on them and bless them. We don't have to fear what our children are going to get into. We don't have to fear that the devil is robbing our young people. We only have to know who we are, why we are here, and speak forth the word of the living God. Don't fear the devil and don't fear being deceived.
Hallelujah.
Because you know what? Even if you're deceived, your steps are ordered of the Lord. When you really understand God and his plan, there is nothing to fear. Because even in deception, you will be rescued. Even in deception, you'll find there's something in there that you need. You don't need to fear anything. You just need to fall in love with your Creator. But as long as you can't get rid of that mindset of an angry, vengeful God, you can't love Him. Not like you should. As long as you fear His correction. Now, I'll grant you that Adam fears the judgment. But see, again, what consciousness are you living from? Because once you begin to live from Christ consciousness, you will pray for judgment. I had somebody not too long ago, you know, tell me what a fearful judgment I was in for some of the things I say in ministry. And I said, well, you know something? If what you say is true, if what I'm ministering is of the devil, if what I'm ministering is a gospel, you know, that's a different gospel from what Paul preached, if all of the things you say are true about me, I pray to God that He would judge me. I don't fear His judgment. I say, God, hallelujah, send the fires of judgment. Because it's in the fire that I learn righteousness. So don't fear. Don't fear love. And you say, but I can't love. I want to love, but I can't. Somebody asked me one time, how do I love God? I don't even know God. Not in the sense that you're talking about. Went to church all of my life, people say. But I don't know Him in the sense that you know Him. It's a simple matter of changing your mind. Repent. Do you believe the Scriptures or do you not? Do you believe what God has said to you or do you not? Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living. This is my translation. The Word of God is living and operative, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now that word there is not talking about a letter. It's talking about a living, vibrant person. The Word of God spoken to you is what brings the discernment and the division of soul and spirit. And so you don't need to fear your Adamic consciousness. Because every time we enter into the presence of God, we walk into the light and we're exposed. And the problem with Christians is they've never been taught that it's okay to see all of their blemishes. Because many times, most of the time, you fall under condemnation. Yet a simple illustration I use is this. If it was nighttime outside and we walked in this building with the light off, we would see nothing. We wouldn't see if there was dirt on the walls. We wouldn't see if there was holes in the carpet. We wouldn't see any blemishes at all in darkness. And there are many people today who are walking in darkness. Many people who confess to be born again are walking in darkness. And when you're walking in darkness, you don't see your faults. You can't see those hidden things that are even hidden to your eyes. But listen, the moment that you begin to walk in the light of God, why do you think, and even in the Old Testament days, the prophets fell to their face?
My Lord. Yes.
Because when you walk in the light, you're totally exposed.
Yes.
And you can see the holes in the carpet and the spots on the wall. You can see the broken windows. But you should thank God for the light. Not condemn yourself for the blemishes. Because when you're walking in the light, simply means that God is dealing with you. And so when I enter into the light and I see all of the areas in my life and I feel so helpless and I know that without divine intervention that the blemishes and the shortcomings in the areas in my life that are not yet conformed to His image, I don't let that discourage me. I thank God that I'm in the light. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. You see, everything that we see that's temporal is subject to change. So folks, let's stop looking at those things that are subject to change and let us look unto Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know that He has authored your faith, but can you believe that He is the finisher? We talk about the third day and entering into rest. And when you can believe in full confidence that He not only authored your faith, but He will finish it.
Yes, He will.
If you believe that, if you can get excited over that,
hallelujah,
you will enter into rest. Because if Gary Sigler has to perfect that which concerns him towards God, he will be a failure forever. It doesn't depend upon what I do and what you do. It depends upon God's plan and purposes for your life. And He will rise up the circumstances that is needed to turn you in the right direction. Should you turn away? Do you think that you can turn away from God and walk in another direction? Well, I've done it. I've tried to do it. I'm telling you, it won't work. There's nothing in all of the world more miserable than a person who has God on the inside of them who's walking in another direction. No matter how hard it is, and this is what had caused me to turn and walk or try to walk in another direction, it's hard. You know, the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. It's not an easy way. And you say, bless God, I'm not a transgressor. Well, I think we all are. But nevertheless, God has captured your heart. And if you turn and walk away from Him, the only thing He is going to do is turn up the fire. Because every branch in me that bears not fruit, He throws it into the fire. So just be cautious about saying, it's too hard and I'm going to give up. While I would say, if you can give up, go ahead. You will find out the saving grace of God.
Glory.
I've found that in some of my worst failures, that God has been most comforting. It's not about you. It's about His seed. God's seed is in all of humanity.
Sure is.
Oh, it may be hidden. Within us there lies a great mystery, but in this day it shall spring forth, and all of the earth will stand in attention to the arising of the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
And I know this is a bold statement, and I'm not saying that I'm fully manifested son of God, but I'll tell you folks, I'm not waiting. Now are we. Now. You are complete in Him, Paul says. Not in your human consciousness, you will never be complete. But in Him you are complete.
Hallelujah.
And I say, oh God, open our eyes that we might see that that same life, that same nature, that even the resurrected Spirit of the living God now dwells within me. Listen, you have been in ascension ever since the seed of God was quickened on the inside of you.
Hallelujah.
And I know the battles have been long and hard. And I know that the Adamic life pulls you towards the earth. And maybe, like me for many years, maybe that Adamic life kept pulling you down every time you tried to rise. But let me tell you something. You began to ascend on the day of resurrection. And if you haven't experienced it yet, you surely will. That the pull of the flesh no longer has any hold. That the Spirit of God arises and puts under your feet every enemy that you have. We are walking today, not as wannabes. I don't want to be a son of God. I am a son of God. Now you can live with me and see my weaknesses. You can live with me and still see, you know, that I'm not perfect. And you can look at that if you want to. But you can live with me and you'll also see Christ. And you'll see the peace of God. You'll see someone who in any circumstance and in any condition, like our brother here, can rejoice in God. Doesn't depend upon circumstances. We are walking on the water, brother, and one day it will be fully revealed. But please, stop waiting for God to manifest himself in you. Stop waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Some people are waiting for that like others are waiting for a rapture. Don't wait. Today, if you will harden not your hearts, today, if you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, which you do or you wouldn't be here, begin to walk as a son of God, and your experience will line up. And as babes, maybe in this, we fall down. Our flesh may get the best of us. We may get angry. All you need to do is repent. That's not me anymore. I can get angry today, and in 30 seconds, I can dissipate it. Where years ago, I would stay angry for days and days. See, we're walking this thing out. We are not yet perfect, but we are manifesting sonship. Amen. Forgetting those things that are behind us. Looking for. Amen. I am anticipating, and I have the full assurance that we're all going to make it. Now, I know even the carnal mind comes in here, and I used to think this way. Well, you know, what if I die before this happens? Nothing to do with it. You will never, ever die. You will simply continue your journey into perfection. And since it is God who is the author and the finisher of your faith, you need to rest in His ability to do that in you, no matter how long it takes.
That's right. Yeah.
He has a purpose, a design, and an intent for you and me. And how long that plan and purpose takes is His business and not ours. And when you look at your brothers and sisters, it is not up to you to adjust, to correct, and to tell them what to do. It is up to you to build, to edify, to minister, and let God Himself work in their lives. People talk today about whose authority are you under? Who is your covering? You're out here ministering all over the United States. Who is your covering? Listen, if God is not my covering, I'm in a mess. And if He is, I don't need a man's covering.
Don't need that.
I stand or fall under God alone, not under man's opinion and man's authority. Any man who will begin to take authority over you, you need to run from. You need to listen to those who will point you to the author and the finisher of your faith.
Yes. Yes.
Not to those who want to correct you in an outward way. And thank God we have men on the earth today who are lifting and building up the body of Christ, not adjusting, correcting, and condemning. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory. Yes. So guard the words of your mouth. And again, it's not an intellectual exercise. I'm not asking you to confess something you don't believe. Don't try to convince yourself of these things. If you don't believe them, don't confess them. Just go to God and say, God, plant these things in my heart. Ask God to reveal to you your heart, because see, you in your heart, you do believe these things. In your heart, you know the truth. And so search your heart. And then you confess and you talk. And you think and you walk what you know to be the truth. And you will quickly rise in glorious victory. Amen.
Well, glory.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Hallelujah.
I'll take you back.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434, for information concerning her music.
True identity. I'm removed.